Chavavim and Aleph, third line down from the top. We discussed the case of Adlaka B'tzari, you know, the possible danger to the house, it might catch fire. Hahi Chamsa. The Gemara now tells us a story about a terrible tragedy that took place. Hahi Chamsa. Dahavis Sanya. Leila Kalos. A Maisa that happened with Chamos Shahayusone Sakala, mother-in-law, that had a terrible hatred for her daughter-in-law. And as a result of her sin, she wanted to murder her. Amrala, so she tells her daughter-in-law, Zeal, go ahead. Ikashit b'mishcha dafarsama. You should get dressed up with this beautiful bosom, this wonderful fragrant smell of Shemen Afarsamon, which is otherwise known as Tzori. Azla, she went ahead v'ikshit, and she put on the Shemen Farsamon. Ki asas, when her kala came, and she was full of this bosam, Amrala, the mother-in-law said to her, Zil Isli Shruga, go ahead and light a candle. Azla Asla Shruga, she went ahead, this kala, and she lit the ner. Infach Banura V'achalta, some sort of a spark came out of this ner, and it lit the Shemen HaFarsamim that was all over her body, and Nebuch, she died. She was burned to death. Once the Gemara tells this story of Shemen HaFarsamim, the Gemara brings a drasha that's related to this about the Churban Bais Rishon, the Golus of Nevuzaradan, as recorded in Yirmiyah Perek Nun Beis, Umidalos Ha'oretz Hish'ir Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim L'chormim U'liyogvim. There was a segment of Bnei Yisrael that were very poor, and they were left alive by Nevuzaradan. He was the Tsar of Hariga. He was in charge of killing the Jewish people on behalf of the king in Eretz Yisrael. And this group of people, Lo Higlam Lubavil, he didn't send them into exile into Babylonia. He wanted them to work in the vineyards. And Karmim is Lashem Malachtim, they should be in charge of the harvest. Yogvim is Milashen Yekev, they would be in charge of taking the grapes and crushing them and squeezing out the juices from the grapes. And the Gemara describes this kind of an avoda in the Krumim of the Karmim and the Yogvim. Karmim, Tani Rav Yosef, Elu Malakte, Afar Simon, Me'ein Gedi, V'yad Ramasa. They would collect the Afar Simon and harvest it from a city called Ein Gedi until a place called Ramasa. And this is a place that's north of the Dead Sea. It's on the right, on the eastern side of the Yarden, and it pours into the Yarden from the northern side. And Gedi is on the western side of Yam HaMelech, and that's where they grew the Afarsimonim, on the Chof, on the beaches, on the western side of Yam HaMelech. From Ein Gedi and on towards this north, Ad Ramasa, which was in the northern part of the Dead Sea. Yogvim, Elu Tzayode Chilozon, these were those who would catch the chilazon, and they would squeeze out the chilazon to remove the blood of the chilazon, which was used as a dye. Misulamos Sheltzur, from a very high road, which is called Sulamos, and that place would lead to the city of Tzur. Those sulamos, meaning the derech, the road that was very high, would climb up towards Tzor, the city of Tzor, v'ad Haifa, until the city of Haifa. The Gemara understood that we don't take this pasuk literally, that he left these karmim who had collected the anovim from the grapes and the yogvim who had squeezed out the wine from the grapes, because for these malachas they didn't have to leave Bnei Yisrael. They could have had goyim who were very experienced in these avodos. But therefore, the word karmim is malachtim of Afar Simon, which is a plant that's local in Eretz Yisrael, as it says in the book of Josephus, and Yogvim Atzayad Chilazon. The Chilazon is only to be found in Eretz Yisrael. The other nations were not Bekiyim; they weren't experts in these malachos. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa, and now we're going back to the discussion of a Ner Shabbos from Shemen. And the oil was Tevel, and not only was it Tevel, it was also Tomei, had two strikes against it. Tana Rabbanan, Eid Madlikim, we don't use the Shemen that's Tevel and Tomei for the Ner Shabbos. But not only that, even during the course of the week, the Emos HaChol, the Ein Tzarch Lomar, the Shabbos, we can't use it for sure on Shabbos. And we don't understand the reason for this, but that's what the Gemara is going to get into. Kayotzi, but we find something similar, says the Braisa. Ein madlikim beneft lovan bechol v'ein tzarchlom v'shabbos. So Bishlam, the Gemara says, neft lavan, this I understand, why it's also to be madlikin and neft lavan even during the week. Mipneshu off, it flies, and it may catch fire, the whole house could burn down, chas v'shalom. Aval tevel tomei, my timer, what's the reason for the Iser to be madlik with Tevel Tomei? We don't know that Tevel Tomei is Aser Bano, and Lechoru, it doesn't have the din of Truma Tmeya. Omar Kra, the Gemara answers, we have a Pasuk in the parish of Matnas Truma Lekoanim, Bamidba Yudches, Vaydaber Hashem El Aaron, and God speaks to Aaron, and he says, Vani, Hinei nosati lecha es mishmeres trumosai. And again, the word trumosai is written in the plural to teach us b'shtei trumos hakosu medaber. There are two trumos, two categories of truma that are given to the kohenim. Achas truma tahora, which obviously can be used by the kohen for eating purposes. V'achas truma tmeya, which during the time of burning the Truma Tmeya, the Kohanim could be Nene. They can, Bishas Beer, they can enjoy the benefits of the Truma Tmeya. Ma Truma Tahora, which is given to the Kohen for Achila. Ein Lecha Ba, Ela Mishas Harama V'Elech. The Kohen only has the right to eat the Truma Tahora from the time of Hafrasha. That's called Harama. Before he's Mafrish the Truma, the Peres have the status of Tevel, and even a Kohen is enjoined from eating Tevel. And the punishment for eating Tevel is Misa Bidei Shamayim, is Af Truma Tmeya, so too Truma Tmeya, which is given to Kohanim, and they're allowed to enjoy it, is Ein Lecha Ba El Mishas Harama V'Elech. In other words, while the fruits are Tevel, they're not allowed to have Hanah. Even a Kohen is not allowed to benefit from a situation of Tevel. V'lachain, and therefore Ein Madlik B'ner Ner b'shemen tevel tomei, because it's osur b'hano. And how much more so in the case of tevel tar? That's certainly osur b'hano. That's what Rashi says, divro maslein madlikin, and that's also the opinion of Tosus here. However, Tosus says that the source for this, since they derive it from tevel tomei, that it's osur b'hadlaka, from the fact that there's a hekish between truma tmei and truma tahora. Now we have to go back and make a second hekesh between Tevel Tar and Tevel Tomei. That just like in the case of Tevel Tomei, there's no heter anah of kilui, only after you mafrish the truma. So too in Tevel Tar, there's no heter anah of kilui, only me harama ve'elach. And basically what I believe, the underlying logic here of the Gemara, which is a principle that I derived from the Rosh at the beginning of the Nedarim, is that Tevel is Truma and Chulin Muravim Zebazeh. In other words, there's Truma inside the Tevel. You just have to do a Brera, you know, do a Frosha to separate the Truma from the Tevel. Now there is a Shita Rishonim, and that's the Rashba Shita, that only Tevel Tomei, that its truma is explicit here in the parsha, and it's that it's not omed, and it's mefurish b'menu that ain omedis el hanah, and we derive from this pasuk that ain hanah so muteres el me'arama v'yelech. But in the case of tevel tar, where after the haramas ha truma, and the truma is taken out, it's omed lachila, there's no isur in its state of tevel. The isur is only an isur achila, but as far as hanoah is concerned, it's mutter. Gemara now goes back to the Braisa on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, as far as Hadlaka Betzari is concerned. Gufa, we learned in the Braisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Madlikin, we don't light an Er Shabbos Betzari. And we gave two explanations above. V'cheino Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, an additional reason for the Yisra Hadlaka of Tzari is Mishum, Shetzari Eino Elas Raf Me'atzei HaKotof. In other words, this is an extract that comes from the eitz, which is called kataf, and the shemen that comes from the kataf, eino shemen hayotzi mipri. It's not something that comes from a fruit. And it's only saraf. It's similar to what we call zephes, which is a derivative of eitz. And if you remember back on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, we said Ein Madlikin Bo. We don't use the extract from Zephes, because in the case of Zephes, it's not able. This kind of shemen is not able, or saraf, we could say, is not able to hold on to the flame. And the same is true for the saraf of Atzei Ketof. It has the same status. It's similar to the saraf that comes from Zephes. So Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Kol Ayotzi Min Ha'Eitz, Ein Madlikim Bo. Anything that comes, any extract from the tree, we don't use it for Adlaka B'Shabbos. And the reason for that is, as Tosis points out, that when it comes to, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Yotzi Min Ha'Eitz, Ein Madlikim Bohem, there are two different reasons. Some of the Yotzi Min Ha'Eitz is Ein Nimshachem Achar Psila. The flame will not rise from the wick, and others have the time that it's Mipnei Kavod Shabbos. It's got a Reach Ra, and it's not something that's appropriate for Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel ben Brok Omer, Ein Madlikin Ela Yotzi Min Ha'Pri. We only use shemen that comes from a pri, like in the case of olives, that would be a classic case. But shemen dagim, the oil that comes out of the body of a fish, or for example, itchron vitsari, that are yotzim min ha'etz, and not min ha'pri, those are disqualified for the reasons that we mentioned above. And we said before that the reason for Rabbi Shmuel, that he excludes itchron and tsari, which are yotzim min ha'etz, in the case of tsari af, there's also an element of danger. There's also a chashash shemi istapik v'menu. We may want to take out some of the oil. And in the case of itron, we have the additional problem of recho ra. Now, in Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka, any oil that doesn't come from pri is also badloka. And that's because einan imshachem achar apsila. The flame is not going to be a healthy flame. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ein Madlik Ela B'Shemen Zayis Bilvad. And we saw this back in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Dalet Omid Beis. The Braisa continues and tells us, Omad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri al Raglav Yomar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri stood on his legs. He stood up. And he declared, as far as Rabbi Tarfon is concerned, Mayasu Anshe Bavel Shein Lem Shemen Zayis. What are we going to do here in Babylonia? We don't have access to olive oil. El Shemin Shum Shemin, all we have is the oil that's extract from sesame seeds. Umayasu Anshe Modai, Shein Lem El Shemin Agozim. All they have in Modai, the only accessible oil is an extract from walnuts. Umayasu Anshe Alexandria, Shein Lem El Shemin Snonos. They only have this oil that comes from the seeds of a tznon, of a radish. Umayasu Anshe Kfotkia, Shein Lem Lokach Vlokach. They don't have Shemin Zayas. They don't have the other Shamanim that come from various fruits, like, for example, Shumshimin and Agozim El Neft. All they have is this kerosene kind of lamp. So what, they shouldn't light near Shabbos? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri finishes by saying, Ella, we have to come to the conclusion that Ein Lecha, you don't want to disqualify for Adlok, Ella Masha Omru Chachamim, what the Mishnah says, Ein Madlikin, what the Mishnah enumerates as those Shmonim which are absolutely excluded and disqualified. Madlikim is Shemin Dagim, even something that is similar to Chelev, which we said is Asur Behanah, Asur Madlaka, even though it's not Yotzim in Apri. So we can use the oil that's extracted from Dagim, even though again it's very similar to Chelev, which is completely excluded back on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. And even though Shemen Dagim is not Yotzim in Apri, we can still rely on it if we need to. And also Be'itron, even though Itron comes from Zephes, as we said, which is a Psoles, and normally it would be excluded from Adlon. So he mentions, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, these specific cases of Shemen Dagim and Itron, because you would have thought that these are excluded either because it's not a Yotzim in a Pri, or because it came from Zephes, which is usually Psul Adlaka, but nevertheless, if that's what we have, that's what we have. And the Brisa continues, and Rab Shimon Shizuri Omer, Madlikim B'Shemen Pakuos Ubeneft. He only qualifies two categories of Shemen for Ner Shabbos. One is Pakuos, and the other is Neft. He doesn't allow for other Shmonim. Now, what does he mean? So the Ritva says, you could say that we meant, what he meant was, that you can light in it, even with these, in other words, in addition to all the others. But the Ritva rejects that, because then he's not adding anything to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was mater, any shemen that was not listed in the Mishnah as being asur. So these two shmonim, shemen pakuos and neft, were not listed in the Mishnah as being asur. So therefore must be that, on the contrary, if Shimon Shizuri is not adding to the list of those shmonim that qualify, but rather he's limiting the list, and only these two shmonim are acceptable. And that's what it means, madlikin b'shemen pakuos ubeneft. Now, Tosus in Masechet Chulin has a different girsa. His girsa is madlikin b'itron ubeneft. Tosus here, Divrei Maaser Rav Shimon, on the other hand, says that Rav Shimon Shizuri's kavana here is to add these shmonim that you're also allowed to light from these shmonim. And then Tosus asks the same kasha that the Ritva asks, well, what's he adding? And Tosus says that if we have the gears of Ein Madlikim Hashem Pekuos Ubeneft, then we understand what he's saying, that he's coming to argue, and he's saying there are two shmonim that are excluded, and that Shemen Pekuos and Neft, even though they're not listed in the Mishnah as shmonim psulim. So we have so many variations here as to how to understand Rav Shimon Shizuri. But we'll go back to our understanding that he limits the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos to these two shmonim. Now we have an additional opinion, and that's the opinion of Sumchus. He says, Kol yotzim in abosar, for example, Chelev, ein madlikim bo, el shemen dogim. The only case of shemen that's extracted from a living creature and still is acceptable is shemen dogim. Now, it's even though it comes from a living creature, fish, it has basar, but nevertheless, madlikim bo. So the Gemara asks the following kasha, Sumchus hainu tanakama. What is Sumchus adding to Rabbi Yochanan Zuri? Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said that any shemen that is listed in the Mishnah as asal adloka, those are excluded. Now the Mishnah says that ein madlikim b'chelev. So what is Sumchus adding by saying that kol yotzim in abasar ein madlikim bo? That exactly is chelev. And as far as shemen dogim is concerned, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri was matir shemen dogim, as we saw in the Mishnah back on Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis in the Divrei Chachamim. So what is Sumchus adding to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? And the Gemara answers, Ikebe Nayu, Derabrona Marav. Rabbona Rav, if you recall, said that if you add a mixture of shemen kosher with shemen pasul, then it's kosher. Even though you only added a small amount of shemen kosher, call it a koldu, you could be madlik. And therefore, let's say we take chelev mevushal, or shemen dogim, and we'd add shemen kosher, then madlikim bo. One of these two tanoim, either Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri or Sumchus, holds or accepts this principle of Rabbi Bruna, and you could take chelev, and you might be able to discuss the status of chelev. And then you could talk about shemen dogim. And you could say that in the case of shemen dogim, maybe shemen kosher and taros would not be kosher. The other Tana holds like Rabbi Bruna. Perhaps in the case of shemen dogim, we could accept this tarovas of shemen kosher, but not in the case of chelev, lo mesayme. And we don't really know from the words of the Tanoim who holds what. It's possible that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that it's also lahadlik b'chelev, even if it's mevushal, but that's only bifnei atzmo. But if you add shemen kosher and it's mevushal, then if you have both those conditions fulfilled, it's kosher adloka. And when he was matir shemen dogim, that's even shemen dogim without a matarovus of shemen kosher. And perhaps Sumchus rejects these two dinim, and he holds a kol yotzim in abasa, which means chelev, even if it's mevushal, ain madlikimo, period, absolute, sof pasuk, even if you would mix shemen kosher. And the only exception is going to be shemen dogim. And shemen dogim, you could be madlik if you add a tarovas of shemen kosher. But to use shemen dogim bifnei atzmo, that would be excluded. That's one approach. The other possibility is to say, no, just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that it's also to be madlik b'chelev, even mevushal, even with tarovas of shemen kosher. He was only matir hadlaka shemen dogim, and even that only with the tarovas of shemen kosher. Sumchus disagrees on both counts. He holds that kol yotzim in abasa, which is chelev, ein madlikim bo bifnei atzmo, but if you add a tarovas of shemen kosher, then you could use it and be madlik even with chelev, as long as it's mevushal. The only exception to that rule is going to be shemen dogim, that even if you don't have a tarovas of shemen kosher, you could still be madlik bo bifnei atzmo. Now, agav, once we have this principle of Rabbi Yishmael, that kol yotzim in ha'etz ein madlikim bo, the Gemara now quotes a brisa that explains other rules about dover sheyotzim in ha'etz. And now we're going to address a sugya with regard to the min and the shear of a beged that's mekabel tuma. We're going to have two possible ways in which the beged could be mekabel tuma. One is through tumas negoyim. It means a beged that was stricken with negat saras. The Torah says in Vayikra Yud Gimel, in the parasha of negei begadim, that if a nega hits a beged, then the beged is tame. There's another possibility, and that's the case where the beged comes in contact with a source of tumah, like with the beged came in contact with a mess, or with a sheretz, or any other dovra metame. Now, in general, the shear of an orig for kabbalah's tumah, anything that's woven, a cloth, is sholosh al sholosh etzbosov. That's considered 3x3 etzbos. That's considered the minimum shear of a beged, and has a chalashem beged, and it could be makabal tumah. The Brisa is now going to tell us that not all cloth is susceptible or is subject to that shear of gimel etzbos, al gimel etzbos. Tanya, we learned in Brisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, kol ayotzim in ha'etz, any woven garment that is a product of an eitz, and that's called, Rashi says, kanvus, or cotton, which is called semer gefen, is in those cases that it's a yotzim in eitz, ein bo, it doesn't have kabbalah tumah mishum sholosh al sholosh etzbosov. In other words, the shear of sholosh al sholosh doesn't apply to a yotze min ha'etz. And the Gemara later on in Amud Beis is going to quote a Machlokas Tanoim, what exactly Reb Shimon Elazar has in mind. If an arig, some cloth, is woven from a Dovah Sheyotzei Min HaEitz, is it not Mekabel Tum at all? Or it requires a greater shear, something larger than 3 by 3 etzbos, which is going to be 3 by 3 tefachim. So that's going to be the Gemara. That's a preview of coming attractions to the Gemara on Amud Beis. Okay, now another din that applies to Yotzei Min HaEitz. Misachim bo, we could use it as schach for sukkah, as long as it wasn't made into a kli, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. Chutz min ha-pishtan. Flax is a derivative of eitz, and if you made a beged, you wove a cloth of sholosh al sholosh, it's both of made of the fibers of flax, is a misachim bo. In the case of flax, we don't use it for schach, even if you didn't make it into a kli or a beged. Why? Because it's makabel tumas negoyim. Let's just go over the last part of the brisa before we get to Abaye. Just to review, in the case of Yotzei Min HaEitz, we can use it for schach as long as it wasn't made into a kli, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. And the Chachamim darshan this in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Yud Beis from the pasuk that says in Chag HaSukkah, says, "Be'aspecha migarnecha mikvecha she'ein mesachichim el b'dovra adoma lepsoles gorin v'yekev v'hainu giduli karka she'ein mekablim tuma chutz min ha-pishtan." Now pishtan is a Yotzei Min HaEitz. Can we use it for schach? And does it have the shear of Gimel Etzba'osav as far as an Orig is concerned to be Mekabel Tuma? So it says Chutz Min HaPishtan, which is a product of the Eitz. It's Min Zera, which is Kori Eitz. And if he made an Orig, which has the shear of Kabbalah's Tuma of 3 on 3 Etzba'os, then that is a case of something that's Yotzei Min HaEitz and has the shear of Sholosh al Sholosh. Everything else that's Yotzei Min HaEitz, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, doesn't have the shear of Sholosh al Sholosh as both, again, in one direction or another, as we discussed. But in the case of Pishtan, it has the shear of Sholosh al Sholosh as both to be Mekabel Tuma. And Pishtan is also the exception to the rule of Yotzei Min HaEitz Mesachichim bo. We don't use Pishtan for schach, even if he didn't make it into a kli or a beged. And why is that? Because it's makabel tumas negoyim, so that pishtan has a special status. We're going to talk about a sugya called the onin shel pishtan as far as kabbalah's tumas negoyim is concerned. And here we're up to Abaye, who's going to try to clarify the words of Rav Shimon ben Elazar as far as Kabbalah is Tumah. Amar Abaye, and we turn to Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, V'tanid debay Rav Yishmael Amru Davar Echad. Now, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Hadam Moron, this is what we learned on Amud Aleph, that Kol Yotzei Min HaEitz doesn't have Kabbalah is Tumah of Sholosh al Sholosh. And Abai understands that his intention was to say that there's no Kabbalah's Tuma Klal in the case of a Yotzei Min HaEitz, which means that even if you have more than Sholosh al Sholosh, so the whole din of Sholosh al Sholosh is only an Arig, but not a Yotzei Min HaEitz. And when Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Kol Yotzei Min HaEitz, it's not Bedafka. Shekenu rak gam bishar begodim could go notza shal izim. So Yotzei Min HaEitz could expand to include even other kinds of begodim, like, for example, begodim that are made from feathers of goats, goat feathers. And it means that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, only a beged of tzemer or a beged of pishtan is makabel tuma. And that's Rav Shimon Elazar. And that really reflects Rabbi Yishmael's sheet as well, because when Rabbi Shmuel says kol yotze min ha'etz ein bo kabbalas tuma shel shalosh al shalosh, it means it's not makabel tuma klal. So that's Rabbi Shmuel, and that's the same as Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that only a beged of tzemer, a beged of pishtan is makabel tuma, but not a yotze min ha'etz. Is Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel Maihi? Where is this Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, and what does he say? Where do we find that he agrees to the view of Rabbi Shimon Elazar? So it says the Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we had a brisa in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, Hoil v'nemru begadim, in many different parashas in the Torah, it says begadim, b'Torah stam, it doesn't say which kind of midden beged it is, Uparat lecha hakosu b'yechad mehem. In one case, only one context, with regard to Tumas Negoyim, the Torah specifies exactly what beged we're talking about and how it's made, and that's called tzemer u'pishtan. It's a beged asu mitzemer u'pishtan, which means either wool or flax. And the pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, it says v'beged yebo ki yebo negatzaras beveged tzemer overveged pishtan beged pishtan. So the beginning of the pasuk uses the word beged, stam, which would include lechora all begodim, but then it says only beged tzemer upishtan. This is called klal uprat, ein beklal, ela masha befrat. So therefore, tumas negoyim only applies to a beged that's made of wool or flax. And now we're going to set up a binyan av from the goyim to any other time that it says beged in the Torah. Mala halon, just like in the case of the goyim, beged is only a beged that's osui mitzemer upishtan, is af kol, any other beged where it says beged stam, it's only going to be from tzemer upishtan. And therefore we see clearly that according to Vdei Rabbi Shmuel, like we saw in Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, both of will agree that only a beged tzemer upishtan is mekabel tuma, but a beged that's made of eitz, and for that matter, a beggar that's made of notza shel izim, as we mentioned earlier, is not makabel tum at all. That's the shita of Abaye. And that's how Abaye understood this Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Rava disagrees. He has a different take on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So now we're going back to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And that, Amir Hashem, we'll see in the next year. So let's just make a note of where we got up to Rava, and that's going to be about, shall we say, maybe six lines down from the top of the Amud. And Mitzvah will cover that in the next year.